I invite you now to stand with me as we hear God's word proclaimed to us this morning. Out of reverence and respect for the authority of God's word, hear the words of the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he has spoke as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. Amen. And you can be seated. Let's pray together. Let the good news come now, Father, not only in word, but also in power and with great assurance. And as the child leapt in the womb of Elizabeth upon the hearing of Mary's greeting, let our spirits leap now at the hearing of your word to us, God. Fill us with the gratitude that comes from knowing that God is with us, that God has protected us, that God has shown strength, and that God is leading us. For we ask now, not in the power of our own hearts, in the power of our own minds, but in the power of Jesus Christ, your Son, the Word made flesh, our Savior. Amen. When we receive unexpected news, what's our immediate reaction? Do we slink into worry, despondency? Do we wring our hands, or do we lean into hope? Do we respond like our culture with cynicism and skepticism, or do we rest in the promises that have been spoken over our lives? I want to suggest this morning that among the things that Advent teaches us is the unique ability to wait expectantly. The Bible, and the way that the Greek uses that phrase or that image, is to wait forwardly, to anticipate that there is something that is leading us onward. Choose hope over skepticism. John Oliver is a British comedian and host of a television program called Last Week Tonight, a cable news program that uses cynicism and sarcasm to report current events. And a few weeks ago, he closed out the 2016 season with a 26-minute long profanity-laced diatribe that in so many words basically said 2016 was the worst. And his remarks went viral. Many of you probably saw them on Facebook, and apparently what he said resonated with a great many people in our society at this day and age and this year. We live in the age of cynicism, of skepticism, where it's more fashionable to deconstruct an idea or an action, pointing to its absurdity, than to search for deeper meaning and beauty that has the ability to bind us together, one to another. There's a writer that has really inspired me and piqued my interest of late. His name is David Foster Wallace, and he puts it this way. Sarcasm, parody, absurdism, and irony are great ways to strip stuff of its mask and to show the unpleasant reality behind it. All we seem to want to do, though, in our day and age is to ridicule stuff, to keep ridiculing the stuff. Few artists, however, dare to try and talk about ways of working towards redeeming what is wrong. Isn't that true of our society? Those of you that are on social media, it just seems like everybody is constantly pointing out what is wrong with the world. But where are the voices who are saying, I will be an agent of change? I will work towards redeeming our culture. I will receive the inspiration of what the scripture says and be a voice for hope, be a voice for gratitude in the face of skepticism. But it's tempting, though. 2016, in many ways, has been a challenging year. Many of us have felt it in really poignant ways. I'll concede, 2016 was a tough year for the Cornell household. 2016, for many of you, I know, came with significant challenge. I mean, even a Cubs World Series, which ought to be like, well, and it definitely was like one of the most hopeful, one of the most joyful events. Even a Cubs World Series struggles to emerge from beyond the shadows of all that has taken place this year. But in many ways, this struggle is the appropriate way for us to enter into the season of Advent. As the great hymn speaks, hope is a thrilling, even mystifying thing. It makes a weary world rejoice. As people who are molded and shaped by Jesus Christ, we have a categorically different approach to the world in which we live. When the headlines tempt us to despair, when the advertisements stir up anxiety within us about what we don't have or what we should have, we are invited into watchful silence, to waiting patiently, hopefully, for a different way, for a different narrative. The incarnation, God becoming flesh in Jesus Christ, tells us that there is another way. There is a counter narrative. What we read in the words of Scripture offer us profound hope that sometimes good news comes dressed as bad news. Sometimes good news comes dressed as bad news. So this Advent, we are going to look at four prayers from the Gospel of Luke. Four prayers uttered by different people who all have an experience of witnessing the coming of the Messiah. In each prayer, there's an action. So in this season where we are watching for signs of hope, we're taking up the discipline of looking for actions, accepting the invitation to these actions that prepare us for the coming Messiah. This week, Mary, in her beautiful hymn, the Magnificat, invites us to a posture of gratitude. When Mary first encounters the angel Gabriel, he offers her good news, but it sure does sound like something other than good news, right? Mary's probably not more than 13 or 14 years old, since the age of betrothal in this culture was about 12. She lives in a town that's so far to the margin of the Roman Empire that Luke has to tell us that it's in the region of Judah, Nazareth. And as someone who is unwed, living in a fiercely conservative Jewish culture, the news of an unplanned pregnancy would not have really sounded like good news. When we think about what's happened in the last month or in the last 12 months, I wonder what it sounds like to you. Mary, to make sense of it, travels to see her cousin Elizabeth. And Luke says that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, maybe filled with anxiety for what it meant, it says that the child inside of her leapt. I wonder, maybe it was in this moment that Mary finally heard good news. You see, the antidote for anxiety and worry is community. You ever notice that we are most anxious about things? We're most anxious about our situations. We're most anxious about the world when we're isolated and we're alone. Anxiety has a hard time flourishing in the atmosphere of caring community. There's not a whole lot of air for anxiety to breathe in the atmosphere of caring community. When we live in intentional relationships of community, we become people who are known for our gratitude, even in the face of challenging circumstances. Let me give you an example. On March 13th of this year, March 13th will go down in my family's life, in our history, as the most difficult of days. It was a day when Amy and I were in a life-altering car accident. And as the doors closed on the ambulances and we parted ways, Amy for Fort Wayne and I for Wabash with our two youngest children, I sunk lower than I ever have before in my life. And yet, waiting for us at the hospital were members of this church. People who were there to hold our children, even nurse them, and to be by my side as the thoughts and the concerns and the worries began to swirl. When I saw them, though, when I walked into the hospital and saw them, something inside of me leapt. It was hope. It was gratitude. It was God's spirit of comfort and healing already beginning to redeem the bad news into good. Sometimes we need to have someone to remind us to point our gaze up. Albert Einstein has this great quote that says, there are two ways of looking at the world. Number one, as if nothing is a miracle. And number two, as if everything is a miracle. In community, we share the task of pointing one another towards God's redemptive work among us. And in so doing, we become more grateful, more hope-filled, more generous, more long-suffering, more compassionate people. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth preaches good news to her young cousin. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Elizabeth, through the eyes of faith, is able to reorient Mary's heart from anxiety to hope and gratitude. She, through her sharing of this moment of extreme vulnerability, is able to turn Mary's uncertainty into celebration, so that the very next words out of Mary's mouth come some of the most powerful and hope-filled words of thanksgiving that have ever, ever been written. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. My friends, we are people who choose gratitude in the face of despondency, opportunity over defeat, hope when all that seems to surround us is cynicism and skepticism. Mary, in the presence of her family, is able to see clearly in a way that she may not have been able to before. Elizabeth reminds her of the characteristic faithfulness of God. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end, amen. If you look down at the verbs in this prayer, in this famous Magnificat, you'll see that all the action words, all the verbs in the prayer are in the past tense. He has shown, he has scattered, he has brought down, has filled, has helped. What's interesting about this, and the Greek has a way, the Greek language has a way of explaining things or describing this in a way that English doesn't quite get in the same sense. All of these verbs are in what's called the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a tense that expresses what has happened in the past, but what is also timelessly true. It was true in the past. It's true now, and it will be true until the end of time. God's mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. So with that in mind, who would look at a story of a teenage, unwed, pregnant girl and see good news? We would. Who would have looked at the death of Lazarus and Jesus waiting to go and visit the tomb and seen good news? We would. Who would have looked at the man from Nazareth slung out upon a cross and seen good news? We would. Friends, in the midst of what has been a very trying and confusing year, you have been a living testimony to the good news, to God's gospel renewing and restoring lives in this community. And so I want to take this time on Gratitude Sunday. I want to take this moment and offer a love letter, a thank you letter for Wabash Presbyterian. You've loved a pastor and his family back to life. You've welcomed in single mothers and fathers and given them unconditional love and support. You've loved those who are overlooked and marginalized in our community. You've shown compassion and care for those without. You've provided a place for advocates of the broken and abused to find a place of strength. You've provided meals on a weekly basis for the weary well-doers, reminding them that the struggle is worth the effort. You've thrown baby showers for young families who you may not even know all that well. You've given validation and appreciation to volunteers who give tirelessly. You've invested in our new and flourishing children's ministry and affirmed with your actions the value of teaching children the stories of Scripture through godly play. You've supported local and global missionaries. You've sent teams to West Virginia and now in just a few weeks to Cuba. And you've prayed. You've prayed, and you continue to pray for one another and for us. When I look at the condition of our society right now and the state of our world through the lens of Wabash Presbyterian, I see courageous, bold, countercultural hope. My heart leaps knowing that there is a place that isn't imprisoned by the cultural narrative of skepticism and cynicism, but rather stands tall on the words of the psalmist that say, "Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. No matter what may come in 2017, we are the community of Christ. We are the redeemed of God. And what this encounter between Mary and Elizabeth presents is an opportunity to rejoice and to praise and to offer thanksgiving for whatever circumstance we face. To hear the words of St. Paul and to take them deep down into the marrow of our hearts and believe that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor principalities, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. In all things, Wabash Presbyterian, give thanks. May we be a people of gratitude. May we be a people who resist the siren song of cynicism and face our world, our community, our lives with gratitude. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, our souls magnify you. For you have looked graciously upon us, upon this community. Lord, from now on, may all generations know and proclaim your glory for your blessing to us. You have shown strength with your arm. You have scattered the proud. You have brought down the mighty. You have filled the hungry with good things. God, may this be the light to our paths this year. May Wabash Presbyterian and this community continue to show and to offer and to preach the good news of hope to one another and to our community. Strengthen our service. Inspire our giving. And equip us with all the gifts we need. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.